You're listening to For Land's Sake. This is Bill Kite, your host. And today we have Morgan Hill with us. Morgan is a director for the Upper Colorado River Watershed Council. And thanks for being with us again, Morgan. We'll get the mic straight here in a minute. Okay. Yeah, thanks, Morgan, for being with us. Appreciate that. And today we're going to talk about a film festival that's coming your way here soon. And tell us a little bit about yourself first before we get into the film festival. Why did you decide to be involved with the Watershed Council?
Sure. I've been passionate about water for a long time and was interested in studying water and thought it was just always a fascinating issue for the West and for Colorado because it's such an important resource for a wide variety of reasons. And I work on water issues in my job. I work for Garfield County Environmental Health and really value the partnership that the county has with the Middle Colorado Watershed Council, and so I'm happy to be on the board of directors for the council and have an opportunity to work on such important issues around water in Garfield County and in Colorado.
So let's talk a little bit about the upcoming Wild and Scenic Film Festival. What's going on here? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So we have two events this year. This is our our fourth time putting on a film festival. This is our third time using the Wild and Scenic Film Festival format. And it's our first time having two events. So we have one event in Glenwood at the Vaudeville Theater. That's February 22nd. And then our next event is February 23rd in Rifle at the Ute Theater. So it's really neat that we're going to be able to offer this showing to two areas in Garfield County. Both events start at 6 o'clock. That's when doors open and folks can come in at the Vaudeville and order drinks and food. And then the films at both events will start at 7 p.m.
All right. So they can get all lubed up there before the show starts then, huh?
Sure.
And I understand you're going to have raffle tickets and giveaways and that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
too?
Yep. Okay. So everyone who comes to the film festival will get a raffle ticket. And we've got some great prizes this year from a variety of our sponsors and at both events. So it'll be, you can come and get some cool swag in addition to watching some really great films.
So you might mention some of the sponsors. That's kind of an important thing for an event like this, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And we have had some wonderful participation from businesses in our community this year. Another board member, Ani Butterfly, as well as all of our board members and staff have worked hard to put to reach out to these businesses to be sponsors. And we've just been so thankful for their participation. We have Alpine Bank, Casey Brewing, and Grand River Construction, as well as Carp New Hanlon, were some of our what we call watershed sponsors. So they gave generous amounts, but we also had a variety of businesses, SGM, Sopris Realty, Bishop Plumbing and Heating, Rifle Lock and Safe, just to name a few.
We have one of the filmmakers on the phone with us here. Can you hear us at this point, Sinji?
I can, Sinjin, yeah.
Sinjin, I'm sorry about that. I knew I was going to mispronounce your name. I do that quite frequently.
Right. Totally good.
So tell us who's on the phone with us right now.
Sure. So joining us on the phone right now is Sinjin. And Sinjin, what was your last name? Eberle? Is that right?
Eberle.
Yep. And he was the filmmaker for the film A River's Reckoning, which we are really excited about because it highlights a variety of water issues in our area. Talks about agriculture and recreation and fishing and a river restored and a big project that was successful in that area and managing all of those issues together. So we think it's really representative of what we've got going on in the Middle Colorado Watershed Council, and it's definitely an important part of our lineup. So yes, Sinjin, if you want to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, this project was actually, the film was actually about a two-year project. The two other filmmakers started the project nearly 2 years ago, and Pro profiling not only the project itself within the Colorado River, which is just down, this section is just downstream from Windy Gap Reservoir, which is inflicted by a lot of water that is piped over to the Front Range. So the agricultural interests that have been up there for decades frequently have problems with water supply to be able to irrigate their fields and grow their crops and things like that. And so the idea was to follow this family over the course of a year. And as we were doing that, we recognized that it was really an equally good personal story about this family that was persevering in this really hard place. I mean, Kremlin, Colorado is a rough place to have a ranch to start with.
Yes, and, it is.
then with the drought of the early 2000s and the combination of severe water shortage naturally, as well as the amount of water that is taken over to the Front Range, it made those ranches, you know, really, it really opened their eyes to how dependent they were on the river and how they have an opportunity to make the river better, not only for themselves, but also, you know, for the fish habitat, for the recreational aspect, the whole gestalt of their impact and their relationship with the river. And so that became, you know, that became the core of what made this film really interesting to make are those three things coming together.
And also they run a fly fishing guide service too, don't they, the family?
Yeah. Yeah, so the Bruce brothers and the dad, Art, who's in the film, Doug Bruce, the younger brother, pretty much runs the operations of the ranch. And it's like, I think it's about a 6,500-acre ranch, so it's a pretty sizable place. And then Paul Bruce, the middle brother of the three, actually, runs the fly fishing guide service as well as works on the ranch. And then, you know, the dad, Art, who was also in the film, participates, and he was the one who moved the family in the 90s from the Westminster area up to the Kremlin area. And so together, they all live in the Kremlin zone, and together they run this operation. And the fly fishing part of it is really a unique thing because, you know, often these ranches are just agriculturally based, and the family saw the opportunity to have this recreation income on this amazing stretch of river and really worked to develop that part of the business for sustainability and resiliency if their ag operations fell off. And so it worked out well for them.
Yeah, recreation is such a big part here on the Western Slope. And it's good that they were able to get into that business as well and help them out.
For sure.
I saw that the screening of that film, and I really did like what I saw. So tell us a little bit about making the film or your involvement in it, if you could.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, there are two other filmmakers. The guys are Josh Duplashane, who works with Trout Unlimited, and Rush Schnitzer, who is a professional photographer. They started the project a couple of years ago, and last summer, I was involved with the opportunity to be able to come in and kind of put the story together and finally get it out to the world. And so the three of us, went back up to the ranch last June, spent a few days up there, did some more in-depth interviews, and then really drove the film to completion through the fall. And then the three of us, went to California in January together to premiere the film at the Wild and Scenic Film Festival's 2018 Kickoff Festival, which is in Nevada City, California. So when I got involved, I really saw the opportunity to make it a story about the family and make it a story that really highlighted some of the struggles that agriculture goes through and the relationship with the river, not simply about the actual restoration project that the family has gone through. Certainly, the restoration of that stretch of river, it's really a restoration effort by 10 families along that stretch of river. And, you know, imagine making a film about that. That would take, you know, 2.5 hours to get the film.
Right.
So
right.
Focusing on the Brousse family, you know, their family's history with some health issues, them moving from the Westminster area, all those things, and then the recreation side of things, all those things together made this a really compelling piece to put together. And at the same time, I work for American Rivers. Jack Superstain works for Trout Unlimited, so the two organizations, our two organizations, came together to make this film. And we really highlight in our online messaging, you know, there's web pages about this stuff, about the actual project, which is part of the regional conservation pilot project. It's a federal program to restore rivers with agriculture for the benefit of wildlife habitat. And so it was a way that we could talk about this project and give an example of this project and this program without really talking about the program, right? I mean, I don't want to make films where you have a biologist sitting by the stream that, you know, points at the river and say, you should care.
Right.
I want to tell, you know, personal stories and character-driven stories that are interesting and that all of us can understand. And there's an underlying theme of, you know, protecting our nation's rivers, protecting Colorado's rivers, protects our way of life, et cetera. And so it fit perfectly in kind of how I like to think about doing these films.
So tell us a little bit about your involvement with American Rivers.
So I'm the Intermountain West Communications Director with American Rivers. So I develop all of the communications and marketing and outreach for the region. Basically, what I usually say is from Montana to Mexico. My main focus is in the Colorado Basin, so I'm very involved with Colorado issues such as Colorado Water Plan, the water markets and flexibility efforts that are ongoing in the Upper Basin. I'm extremely involved in the Central Arizona campaign and how will we improve conservation in Arizona in order to support Lake Mead, which is very tenuous. A lot of Arizona's water depends on the elevations in Lake Mead. And I'm actually in a hotel room in Phoenix right now because I have meetings for the next few days about Central Arizona. And so I work on the communications and outreach side of telling stories, getting information out to our members and to the public about the importance of the Colorado River to all of us. Wherever you are in this 7-state region, we're all interconnected by this river, and we all need to take care of it.
That's for sure.
We hope to sustain ourselves as well as hoping to sustain the river, which absolutely deserves our respect and reverence every day, right?
Right.
So that's what I do with American Rivers, and then I'm the executive producer, and in this case I was the director of all of our films nationwide. So not only my Colorado Basin and Northern Rockies communications work, but I also make all our films. So,
well, sure. Appreciate you having you here on For Land's Sake. And, you know, we're experiencing some low snowpack here, and a little concern I read the other day, of course, for filling up Lake Powell, which a lot of us go to, and people don't understand sometimes how important the water is here in our neck of the woods to the rest of the water basin, so Colorado water
basin.
Well,
absolutely. Yeah, and I would just say, you know, I live in Durango, Colorado, and we just had I had like 7 inches of snow this morning when I left for the airport, and it certainly is really troubling how lean our snowpack is this year, and so we can do the snow dance and we can hope for more. It definitely, you know, projections by the Bureau of Reclamation are basically saying that inflows into Lake Powell are going to be average at best and probably much below average. And while that doesn't trigger any legal mechanisms, it certainly causes Lake Mead a big problem because, in essence, Lake Mead and Lake Powell are connected and they're managed together. You know, with the Grand Canyon, you know, I don't mean it this disparagingly, but Grand Canyon is basically a pipe between the two reservoirs. And being able to manage Lake Powell and Lake Mead together, and then Arizona's dependency on Lake Mead being at a certain elevation as to not force federal cutbacks, is really a challenging situation when we don't have major snowpack. The good news is Wyoming's in reasonably good shape. I mean, I think I saw this morning that Wyoming, Colorado Basin and Wyoming, the Green River is at like 110% of snowpack, so that's better, but the Southwest is in terrible shape. We're at like 38%. So,
right.
It's getting scarier by the day, for sure.
Well, listen, I sure appreciate you taking time out to be with us here today, and good luck in your meeting there in Phoenix, and thanks again for being on the radio with us. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation. Thank you very much.
Take care. So these films sound very interesting, especially this one that I was able to see. I saw a little bit of a couple of others as well, and one I was interested in was Return from Desolation. I've been on that section of the river Desolation, and it's a lot of fun to float down. It sounds like that's a really good film. Have you had a chance to look at many of these, and if so, what's your favorite?
Oh, man. Well, I have previewed all of them, although not watched all of them in their entirety, and Return from Desolation is a great film. It's a kind of a heartwarming story of a veteran who came back and found a job being a guide on Desolation Canyon, and then also in when he's not guiding, works for the oil and gas industry, and talks about his balancing those two jobs. And again, kind of like with River's Reckoning, these multiple pressures that we put on water and the environment, and or the needs that we have for them, and you know, the subject of the film finds a lot of peace in the river, and it's been a really restorative time for him. So it's a neat film and very multifaceted. So we really thought that was perfect for, again, for our audience and our issues in the Middle Colorado watershed.
And it sounds so far like these films are really down-to-earth, real-life stuff, and I think mm-hmm. that's what people really like as well.
Yeah, they have a great mix of... We really strive to have a mix of films that were, you know, talked about issues and work that people are doing. We have another film called Conservation Generation that features young farmers in Colorado and some of the challenges that they're facing and how they're overcoming those challenges. Another couple of films that are just fun, one called Dream Day that has a couple athletes that do four different sports in one day, and it's just a cool adventure film. And then another one called My Ernik, which is about a dad raising his son in the Arctic, and it's a really cute family story. So, again, a broad range of issues that we'll be looking at. And not necessarily issues, like I said, but some of them are just good, fun films.
The Conservation Generation, I believe just a little small portion of that, whether it's in the film or not, was filmed here in the studio when I had the three women farmers in and on the radio show. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. There's one I also screened that is some guys who go down a river in Canada, and they end up biking and then getting in a raft and putting the bikes in the raft. It looked like a kind of crazy adventure, really.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I did watch that one, I think in its entirety. And they have a crazy adventure, and then also are exploring a really special place along this river that has some mining activity along it. So they're looking at those issues as well, or impacts as on their big adventure. So
a couple other names for the films are Dream Day, Running Wild, and Ace and the Desert Dog. That sounds like a fun one right
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah, big 40-day backpacking trip that a photographer goes on with his dog. And so it's a beautiful film because it also has a lot of that great cinematography in it.
Sounds like it was filmed in Utah's Canyon Country, my favorite part of the world. So
mm-hmm.
good. Okay, so there's plenty of adventure for those of you who want to adventure out here soon. And what is it, a week and a half, I guess? couple weeks.
Yep. So the 22nd. So that's next Thursday and Friday.
Well,
so
next Thursday. Wow. That's coming right up here.
Yeah.
And you don't want to wait too long. I heard this morning that 50 tickets had already been sold at Vaudeville. So they're going fast. If you really want to be involved in this project and help the Middle Colorado River Watershed Council, then you want to be sure to go to either the one at Vaudeville on the 22nd at 6 o'clock. The film starts at 7, or the one at the Ute Theaters. Either one, it would be a lot of fun. I've been in the Ute Theater, and it's a really good venue. So tell folks how to get tickets. What's the best way to do that?
So we have a variety of ways to get to the Eventbrite page to purchase tickets. The best way is to go to midcowatershed.org. That's our website. Or you can also use your search engine and search Middle Colorado Watershed Council. And those will both take you to our website that have a spot to buy tickets. We also have the event posted on Facebook. Those are the best ways to go purchase tickets. But the event has sold out in the past in Glenwood when we've just featured that show. And like you said, we have already sold quite a few. So it's on track to potentially do that again. So we definitely want folks to get tickets online. They are $15 in advance or $20 at the door. So not much more than the price of just seeing a movie. So it's a great night.
So, yeah, let's get out there and support these folks. It's been fun having you today. You were on the show one other time with some of the other people from your group. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to in the next few minutes.
Sure. We have a couple really cool things going on at the Watershed Council. We actually just hired a new person to be our outreach and education coordinator. So that he'll be introduced at our film festivals, and we'll be working on that. And the Watershed Council has also gotten a pretty significant grant to do what's called an integrated water management plan. And we'll be looking at in-stream flows and a variety of different uses of water in our area and trying to integrate those and balance them. And that's going to be a really big project over the next couple of years. And then I always like to draw attention to our river cleanups that we host typically in the fall. We haven't started planning that one yet, but the event is usually in October. And the last couple of years, it's been in Rifle. So we're looking forward to our next couple of events. We do a lot of educational projects and really engaging our partners and stakeholders in talking about the river.
So do you provide any food there after people are cleaning up the river?
We sure do. Yeah, every year we either have a barbecue or the event is catered. And so we always reward folks for their hard work and for picking up trash along the river. And it's always really fun, too. It's a great community event and gets the communities that we host the event in engaged in their river and thinking about, making sure it's clean. And again, we have a lot of fun afterwards with a meal and prizes
like
and things like that. So
if people would like to get involved, what should they do in the next 40 seconds here?
Well, in the river cleanup, like I said, we haven't set the date for that. But the best thing to do is to like our page and follow us on Facebook. We post all of those events there. And you can also get on our mailing list and get our newsletter as well. And you'll get information about everything we've got going on, which is more than just the river cleanup. We'll have some other educational events.
Well, I really appreciate you being with us today, Morgan. It's always fun to have you here in the studio, and we'd be glad to have you back sometime.
Great. Thanks, Bill. It's been great to be here.
You bet. And again, folks, be sure you buy those tickets here real quick, because otherwise they're going to be going fast and you're going to be regretting that you did not go to the film festival. All right. Okay, folks, March the 13th at 4:30, come and join us again here on the KDNK Public Affairs Program for Land's Sake. Until then, remember, whatever you do to Mother Earth, do it for land's sake.